Amen. I got it, and then it got me, and I'm glad that it grows in you. A lady that had the Holy Ghost, she was from the Philippines, and she was working in Singapore. A lot of them do. She was a housekeeper. And she went to the church there in Singapore. Can't remember the pastor's name. It was, my wife and I were trying to remember it. He took over after the Willoughbys both passed, both died of cancer a year or so apart. But that is still a great growing church there. And she goes to that church. But she was a housekeeper, and she walked by, and she was cleaning up, and there's the entryway, and on the entryway is a table, as you might have, you know, in your home, and some decorations on it, and there's an airline ticket, and she just reached, looked down at that airline ticket, and something just kind of made her feel uncomfortable. And every time she'd go past that table, something about that airline ticket just didn't feel right. And she went to the homeowner. She said, I'm sorry about that ticket there. What's it to do with? And she said, well, it's my son. And in Singapore, a lot of the kids live with their parents even when they're much old, until they're, you know, ready to leave the nest. And so he was in his 30s, and he was an executive, a travel executive. And she said, they've sent him a ticket for a big free deal, a vacation over in Shanghai or something like that. And so he's going there. A little bit later, she went by that ticket again, and she said, I'm sorry, I have to say something to you about the ticket. I feel terrible, but something's wrong with the ticket. I'm sorry, I know this may sound odd, but I feel something in my spirit that it's not right. And the homeowner said, well, by all means, I'm going to let him know. Her son came in later, and she said, I want to tell you about the ticket. Housekeeper said, it's not a good deal. She feels bad about it. Well, him being sort of a superstitious sort, he just said, I just won't go. And he didn't go. And the plane crashed. In the news, the plane crashed. He didn't know God. His mother didn't know God. But thank the Lord they hired a housekeeper that did. Whenever you feel the Lord moving on you, there's no reason to try to shut it down, because there's a purpose in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And what it does. I was thinking of that. I didn't just hear it. I've heard it several months ago, and I thought I need to share that because it glorifies my Father in heaven. What a mighty God he is. Amen. Classes, you may be dismissed. The rest of you, please be seated, and we can move on with our service. I enjoy Wednesday nights. Enjoy Bible studies. Growing up, we didn't have church on Wednesdays. I was deprived. We just had it on Tuesday and Thursday. I envied my friends that had Wednesday night church. Sometimes I envied the ones that didn't go to church. I just envied, you know. Lord, surely there's a better way than me having to come in and get ready for church right in the middle of a football game, baseball in the street, whatever it might be. But I'm thankful to the Lord today that I had parents that didn't just bend the rules and say, oh, well, it won't matter. They believed it mattered. So we raised our kids and said, it matters. Amen. It matters. I'm going to go to Nehemiah. This is Nehemiah 8 and 10, one verse there. In the King James, it says, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, Nehemiah was saying this to those who had been in captivity for 70 years, and they had come back to Jerusalem after 70 years, and now they're back, and some of them even were born in Babylon. Many of them didn't remember. They weren't in Israel when they were born in captivity. The older ones, they remembered the old days. Ezra, you read how he had led the rebuilding of the temple that had been delayed from outside interference, but he had managed to build the temple. Nehemiah had led the rebuilding of the walls against the threat of neighbors, another season of threats and people trying to come between them and the plan of God. And now the people were hearing the reading of the word of the Lord, many of them for the very first time. They were hearing the law read. Now, it was in the law that you would hear the word read, the whole five books, the Pentateuch, you would hear it read in its entirety every 7 years. You didn't have a copy of it in your home. you was lucky that there was anywhere anyone near you that had a scroll that had the law written on it, and it was exact replicas. The copies were exact, or they wouldn't pass. And these people were hearing it read, many for their first time. As they began to hear the words read, they started weeping, because perhaps they may have realized how hungry they were for the word of the Lord, and it had been so long since they had heard it. And I'm sure some of them might have realized, if only we had heard the word of the Lord before, we may not have gone into captivity. But regardless of their reasonings and their emotions, they were glad to hear the word of God. It's awesome today that we don't have to wait 7 years to hear somebody read the word of the Lord to us. We just can come and listen every day. We can open up our phones and see a Bible right there in front of us, whichever version suits your fancy. One of my teachers, I believe it was our fourth grade teacher, she took a huge book and she told us, she said, this book is called Gentle Ben. It's about a big grizzly bear or a brown bear, I don't remember which. She said, I'm going to read this book to you all this year. And oh man, I didn't know I was going to like it so much. And she would read it either right after lunch before the next class or recess or right before. I don't remember. I think it was right before lunch. But every time she would sit down to read it, it was only like 4 or 5 minutes that she was able to read it. And then she'd say, well, my time's up. And I wanted her so bad to read more of Gentle Ben. We would say, no, no, more, more. She'd say, you've got to wait till tomorrow. Oh, my goodness. I look forward to tomorrow. I'd get to school and I couldn't wait to hear what's going to happen next to the boy that had the bear as a pet or something like that. I don't know if their ears itched in the days of the rebuilding of the temple, but Nehemiah said to them, he said, I don't want you to be sorrowful at the reading of the word, but you need to be joyful, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. Not the joy that you get from any outside source. That doesn't strengthen you. It might make you happy, but the joy of the Lord is going to strengthen you. There's no other joy that strengthens you but the joy of the Lord. Because there's something about the joy that comes from kingdom principles and kingdom matters that does something to the inside of you where God already dwells. And it draws you into His perfect plan. I think everybody, you know, has a sweet tooth in some way. David's story, I grew up around him, and he later pastored our church. Saw a picture of him today on Facebook. Looks pretty good, unless the picture, you know, was really old. But I think he's all right. But the thing about David that I didn't quite understand is when we would have dinner at church, and I look forward to those. We paid for our new building that way, or we may have paved a parking lot or something. You know how you have these fundraisers. And every month we would have dinner after church on a particular Sunday. I looked forward to it because my pastor's wife made coconut pies. And my whole day I'd think about those pies, and I would get 2 pieces if I was fortunate. And I would go through the line and I would fill my plate full of the normal stuff, things we have here, you know, chicken and the gravy and maybe fried chicken, maybe roast beef and corn and potatoes. And, you know, go up to my mom, which ones did you make? Is that yours? Is that your cake? Thank you. And I'd go get mom's food and others that I knew, you know, I'd like. But I was just putting it on my plate to get it out of the way, to hurry up and go through it, because I'm really all about that coconut cream pie. And I sat down with the pie one time, and I remember I might have probably had some, you know, dressed the plate up with some cake and things and cookies, but the pie was the centerpiece. And I sat down across from David, and I said, don't you wish you had this? He went, no, I'm just going to go up and get me another plate of chicken and gravy and roast beef and corn and mashed potatoes. I said, are you kidding? No, he said, I don't like sweets. And I've met people, you may be one of those. Nothing wrong with that. I envy people like that. But I can't fathom that. I can't understand it. Somebody would say, no, I don't want pie. I would rather have a slice of meatloaf. I know it happens. But I think for the most part, there's some kind of candy that you really just gets you. You probably have some in your pocket or purse now. For the most part, some of you have got a weakness that you can't hardly just ignore. There's something that you go through Publix and you take a right instead of a left. The one up here, you know, you take a right and it's the bakery. And You ever go to a restaurant and you know you're going to eat good, but you go to the dessert first? I've done that before. I'm thinking, well, what am I going to have when it's over? We like sugar. We like things that are sweet because there's something it does to our brain. It's a proven fact. Something does something to your brain. I get in the car and we got this sugarless gum in there, but it almost does the same thing. Can't last long, but it probably has the candy coating on the outside. And I'll chew some of that gum. It makes me sneeze every time, but it doesn't last long. And in a minute, I know I'm not going to, I wish I hadn't started chewing it. But it's that initial, just something spikes that says, yay, in the brain. You ever hear the word weekend and it just makes you feel good? Somebody says, hey, by the way, tomorrow's Friday. And you're like, tomorrow's not Friday, y'all. But you know what I'm saying. The word weekend sounds so much better than Monday. The word ice cream just is a happy word. See, we all have triggers for certain things like that. And of course, this time of year, I know it's triggers are firing, man. It's just like crazy. Judges 14:5 says, then Samson went down in his father and his mother to Timnath. He came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and it rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well, and after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion, and he took thereof in his hands, and he went on eating, and came to his father and his mother, and gave them, and they did eat, but he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of a lion. The reason he couldn't tell them that I took this sweet honey out of the carcass of the lion, because then they're going to say, where's the lion? And you got to go take them to the lion, and the lion was in the vineyard, and you're not supposed to be in the vineyard. What Samson was doing, now we don't know if he partook of the grapes. He wasn't supposed to. He had a Nazirite vow. I'm thinking he probably knew, don't touch the grapes. It took quite a few persuasions for Delilah to get him to tell him about his hair being the secret. And so I don't think he walked in there and was eating grapes. I think he just wanted to go in there and smell them. Some people like to just get so close to the thing they're not supposed to do that they just want to smell it. Just kind of, let me just get so close, it's right there, but I don't really need to partake of it. And I can kind of think that's what he was doing. But while he went in there, he probably thought judgments of God's against me because there's a lion parked right there by the vineyard. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And instead of him being torn by a lion, he tore the lion up. But think about it. You can't tell anybody about it because you're in the wrong place to have a victory like that. But when he got through killing the lion, it doesn't say, and behold, there was honey in the lion's carcass. No, the lion had to die. There was a season where nature took its toll and the lion, you know, was eaten by, you know, the buzzards and so forth. You know how that stuff goes. And then at last, the bees decided that would be a nice place to make a hive, and there was honey. And so on his way back by, there it is. Let me see this lion I killed that I can't tell anybody about. And when he goes in there, he realizes, yep, there's honey. His old nemesis. What a sweet surprise. But it brings something else to mind, and it's simply this. Whenever you come up on something like this, you know it didn't get there by itself. The lion didn't get there by himself with honey in his head or wherever his carcass might have had the honey. He had help from bees. And yet bees didn't just go in there and say, all right, let's just drum up some honey. My friend, Brother Boyd, his son, Justin, has beehives. And he showed it to us. Took my wife out and showed her the whole makeup of it and how it's all done. Very interesting stuff. He had a video the other day of him going into a wild hive of bees and doing this little smoke thing, calming them bees down, and causing those bees to go right down into one of his little boxes, drawers that he's going to put in his hive. And there they go in there. And he found the queen. He said, you got to get the queen. And in the video, he takes the queen and just kind of nudges her or, you know, helps her to get into the hive. And then all the other bees follow her in there. I mean, it's a science, amazing thing to watch. But he doesn't do it because he just enjoys watching bees. I had an ant farm in my bedroom. My brother helped me make it. It was two pieces of glass, siliconed with edges and a bottom. and about that thick, and it was so big. And we got the glass made, and we put just plain old dirt, and then we just took a broom straw and just poked a hole and took some red ants from outside, which we had plenty, and started putting red ants in there, and they went to work. I woke up the next morning, and they had dug a hole about that far. And the next day, I got them from school, and they had went down and caused little tributaries, and you could see it through the glass. It was the most amazing thing. I mean, they got right to work as soon as we put them in there. And see, that's the way bees are. They get right to work because they're going to make some honey. I'll tell you what's awesome. And there may be some animals. I know bears are supposed to like honey, and, you know, I'm sure they do. I don't think God made all of that so the bears could have a dessert. But it's amazing that honey is mentioned so many times in the Bible. But you don't get honey unless you've got some bees. But bees don't make honey unless they can get that nectar from somewhere. You know, you've got to have orange blossoms, and that makes great honey. And many, many other plants that you can get it from. And somebody told me a couple of years ago, you need to go get honey made from this area. I don't remember what you call it, but, you know, it's allergy honey. And so we went and bought it. You can get it here in town. And I like that kind of medicine. Every day I take a big spoonful of allergy honey to help me not, you know, feel like I was being whipped all the time, you know, in my body. Now, the thing about it, though, the bees have to go somewhere to get that nectar. I was walking in the house today, and we've got these, I don't even know what you call them, plants on side of our entryway. They were in pots. We took the pots to the backyard, and after you took the pots, whatever was in the pots now has grown up into huge plants. You know, I'm not a plant person, but by mistake, I've got these beautiful purple flowers, and the bees love it. And I can hear buzzing as I got up to the door today. Just, and it sounded like a swarm of bees, and it was probably just two or three bumblebees. And I knew that's what they were doing. But you know what they do? They cross-pollinate. And they land on one flower, and then they go land on another one, and they take that pollen, and they don't do it on purpose. They don't say, let me stick my leg down in that pollen, and I'm going to hobble over here to the next flower on that plant, and I'm going to shake that pollen off, and I'm going to cause those plants to cross-pollinate. But God, in His mastery, has created a system to where while they're doing something that's causing plants and all of that to grow, the byproduct of all of that buzzing and all of that work and all of that organization that is often also put together by God brings about this wonderful, golden, sweet honey that we love so much. Think about all that goes in to just making honey. We used to take honeysuckles. Honeysuckles aren't, that's not a lot of honey. And you take the end out of it, and this one little drop comes out, and you just touch it to your tongue. That's all you get. We just sit there, one little drop. It's not that sweet. But it was just something to do as kids, you know. And without bees, though, you can't have the crops we eat. A lot of the things we have has to be cross-pollinated, and it all works together. They don't even know they're doing it, and there they are doing a wonderful work. You don't always know where somebody's joy is coming from. You don't always know when you're about to step into something in your life and God's about to just unload His joy on you. The joy of the Lord is the greatest joy we could ever find. It can be in some of the most insignificant places that you can find joy. Now, I understand the obvious ones of grandbabies and all of that. We're really excited about our grandchildren. My daughter's about to have our fourth one, and she's a lively one that we know of. And I can't wait to see what this one's going to look like. We hoped it was a girl, and it was, and yay. And so we can't wait to see it. And I was even excited to go to the sonogram room in there at a spa and watch as that lady was moving that thing around. And I was really hoping we saw a girl. And I usually don't care, but I thought, we've got boy-girl down here. Let's get a boy-girl up in Ohio. And it's amazing the joy that is in just the child that's not even here yet. And because we've developed means and ways to see things before we're ever supposed to see them. And now they can even see pictures of their faces, and they're doing cute things, and they're not even here yet. And oh, the joy that comes through things like that. And Psalm 91:1 said, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I want to tell you, There's nothing that brings me more joy to my soul. Now, my flesh joys in a lot of things. Y'all know I like ice cream. But my soul rejoices. That's a different joy right there. My soul rejoices in this salvation experience that I know that I have. I rejoice when I think about my past and how I was forced to go to church and they made me go until something happened on the inside of me. I thank God for the joy of the Lord that I have, because it is what makes us strong right now, the joy of the Lord. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. See, the Lord draws you with a loving kindness. He draws you with a loving purpose. Everything we are about with God has a purpose in it. And He draws you before you ever know He's drawing you. You know that? Listen to me. God's hand is drawing people when they don't even know He's drawing them. I remember my, mid-teens, and I kind of thought, I've told you many times, I felt like I was heading downhill, and I probably wasn't going to serve God when I got older. I just didn't think I was. I was in a small church, and I didn't see anybody there that I'd even marry. I figured, that my friend that I thought I was supposed to marry, she got married early, and I said, well, there's that. So I'm just going to probably just live, in the world. I figure it's just a deal like that. But here's the thing. The devil doesn't have a certain year that you get before he can start throwing darts in your mind like he can. And those fiery darts, they come to your kids. That's why you got to protect them and pray over them. But as I began to, I'll tell you something. I feel like if a child is old enough to understand the Holy Ghost, and I believe if they're old enough to understand what right and wrong is, I believe there's a chance that the enemy can still deal with them and try to throw a dart. That's why the home has to be protected through prayer. You have to sanctify your home for your children's sake. And I remember as a young age, 8 or 9 years old, the enemy just came to my mind and said, you don't have anything. You didn't get the Holy Spirit. He told me that, and why would I think a thought like that? But it was an actual, like a sentence that came to me, you do not have what you think you have. I couldn't wait to get back to church so I could worship God and feel that presence again. I didn't know what to do. It made me hate that stinking devil so much that he would pick on a kid. He don't care. He crosses lines. He's doing it in our culture so much. We see it in the media. We see it everywhere where he's crossing lines, and children are trying to decide, I don't know if I'm going to be a girl or a boy, That's pretty much a done deal the way most of us were raised. And now it's like you got these options now, and we don't want to offend any of them because they are trying to figure out what they are. Thank God for the joy of the Lord. Dear Lord, help us, God, to grasp a hold of it. Protect our homes and protect our families. But I remember one day I was sitting on the front row of our church. I was sitting over here on this side. We had the two sections of seats. And in my mind, here's what I said as we're worshiping. I said, Lord, I'm going to reach up with my hands. And I'm going to praise you. And when I do, I said, there's this imaginary film up above me. And in my mind, I said, Lord, I'm going to reach my hands up there and I'm going to tear a hole in it, and I'm going to feel your presence. I know, Lord, it's a midweek service, probably a Thursday, and it's, a small crowd, and it's just we're going through our three songs and sermon, and go home. But at that song, I don't know if it's the first, second, or third song, but I reached up, and I began to just do my hands like this. And when I did, I could imagine, Lord, I know your presence. And I tell you, folks, right now, I felt the presence of God. I felt something flood my soul. I was 9 years old, and I felt God moving, and I smiled, and I thought, God just did something for me, and I learned for the first time that the joy of the Lord made me stronger, and it made me understand, devil, you don't have anything you can do to me, because I just found some honey, and it's so sweet when you know God, as the song says, and I'll tell you, I believe those songs, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, yes, he does, but he is drawing you. Paul said, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He was reaching to obtain a prize. He said, I'm pressing. There's something there I want. Paul, you're very, very saved, right? I mean, look at all you've written, all the churches you've started. No, he goes, I'm pressing. I'm pressing. It's when we stop pressing and we sit back and think we're there. It's when we think we're there. Now, in an elevator, there's a point to stop pressing because it's going to take you somewhere. You ever got an elevator that had 50 floors and there's a little kid in there? I watch when kids get in the elevator. We was at that conference and we was on the 20th floor. There was 21 floors. We was on the 20th floor. A kid got in there one time, and I mean, sometimes it took you a while to get up or down. And I was watching the kid. I was watching him because if he reached up to touch those buttons, I was going to touch him. Just you know, block him. And he was liking those lights, and he was looking. But his parents saw him, and his mama just kind of reached back and pulled him back. And I thought, good. Didn't want to have to do it myself. But there's a point where you stop pressing because he's going to take care of it all. Amen. But see, Paul said, I press towards the mark. I'm looking for a prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He was reaching to obtain that prize. That's our goal, to get to a place where we're in it for the joy. I want to be in this thing for the joy. I tell you that growing up in my church, the youth group fluctuated. It was sometimes real small, sometimes larger, not a whole lot of activities. And, went to regular school. I had a couple of church friends there at school usually, and I could see them maybe, maybe not. So whenever I would get home and we would have to go to church midweek, I realized something that was really valuable, and that is there was something in it for me. It wasn't just as I was when I was little. You just go there and sit on the pew and write on paper and doodle or whatever you could until it was finally dismissed. There's an age that I got to where I realized there's something here for me. I love our kids that get out here and worship on Sunday. Our youth, most of them sit over here. They can sit anywhere. But I'm telling you, this side over here, it's starting to list a little bit because they get over there and they start worshiping. And what a powerful move of God we have. It's not a, and we really, we've never had, this church has never been one to where, you know, the kids stay back there and the adults worship. Kid-centric, I like that. Because they know what the joy of the Lord is. God draws us from one place to another, and we take that joy and we move on and dispense our testimony. Here's the awesome thing about the joy of the Lord. I come to you and you share a story with me about what the Lord has done, and I love that joy, and I take that joy and I go tell somebody, hey, listen to what they told me. This is what the Lord did, and that pollen that I just picked from them, I dispense to you, and now you've got that testimony and you've got that joy, and you go off somewhere and tell somebody, and a testimony keeps getting repeated, and it's all we're doing is cross-pollinating everything and taking that joy and sharing it, and so everybody can have the sweetness of God's wonderful glory. I was sitting over there and I was thinking of the story of the lady from in Singapore, you know, and the worker there, and I thought what an awesome story it was. And right before the song ended, I just the story came to my mind of Brother Treadway. Told the story of being 18 years old. He didn't serve the Lord himself. His daddy was the pastor, and he later, you know, became a pastor himself. But he said, I was in my room, and I heard the Sunday school teacher come in to see my dad on a Saturday and walked in the living room, and she was, you know, the main Sunday school teacher. And she just came in and said, Brother Treadway, I just want to tell you, I've tried. I've tried to, you know, be faithful to the church and be a good teacher, and I've been just Bob just won't come to church with me, I don't know what else to do, and I'm telling you that I can't come back again. Here's my Sunday school book and all the literature, and I won't be coming back. And she said, everything you try to teach, I know your doctrine's right. Our daughters, they just can't line up because, you know, I try to influence them, and then my husband just undoes everything I do. I have no authority. I can't do anything. I'm sorry. And he said, I was on my bed thinking, Dad, what in the world are you going to do? He said, I was listening. My wife tells me stories about when her parents had missionaries and evangelists over, and she said, I'd crawl out of bed and just sit there and listen because I want to hear those stories. So Brother Treadway said, I was listening to hear this story. How's Dad going to get out of this? And Dad said, well, can I ask you to do something for me? She said, sure. He said, just come one more time. That's all he could think of. Just come to church one more time. It had been over 18 years that she'd been coming, and her husband Bob wouldn't come. Now he has this great idea, come one more time. She said, I'll come one more time. I would do the same thing, because at least it buys you one more day. At least you don't go to bed thinking, I'll never see her again. One more day. And she said the next morning she got up to get ready for church and getting the girls ready. And she goes in the bedroom and Bob's ironing his shirt, his white shirt. She goes, what are you doing? He went, oh, I figured I'd go to that church with you. She thought, wow. Okay. Well, that's good. She wanted to shout. She wanted to dance around the house, but girls, dad's going with us. Let's get going. He goes to church and sits there like a stone. But at the end of the service, he walked up and said, I want to be baptized. Okay, we'll baptize you. Because you can imagine Brother Twedbury. It's just, thank the Lord. Little church, little town, Camp 8, Louisiana. You know, nothing much there. He goes home, and of course, we have two services that Sunday, like it was in the old days. He comes back that night, and the Lord fills him with the Holy Ghost. I smile every time I tell the story because it's got so much pollen. It's so sweet to tell about the mercy of God. Amen. And a pastor that all he had in his arsenal was just come do it again and let's hope something happens. I'll tell you, between that night and the next morning, I'm pretty sure he probably said some things to the Lord. Please God, if you ever could draw somebody in, do it today. It's these testimonies that we're strengthened by. John 21:24, this is the disciple which testifies of these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they would be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Because you can't write them all down. There's too many things that he's done. We have to have joy for this journey, y'all. And our joy needs to be in the Lord. I can understand appreciating things out there. You hear some good news, that's all right. Amen. Your stock goes up, that's okay. You got vacation time, that's wonderful. But the strength that we have and that we walk in is the joy of the Lord. Amen. It's that strength that comes from a prayer meeting. It's that strength that comes from, doing things that it may not seem like it's going to be that pleasant in the midst of a fast for 30 days almost that we're going to do in January. But there's going to be joy in that journey. I'll tell you this. I remember them. We get through the end of that, and I'll tell you the best meal of the year to me is that Saturday after that last fast day. I'm already looking forward to it. I'm sorry. That's just my weakness. I was sitting there today. We was making out the calendar. And I was almost weeping looking at all the days we were going to be fasting. And then those last few days, you know, all out fasting. And I thought, I just can't wait for Cracker Barrel on Saturday. I just can't wait for it or whatever it is that we do. That's a little bit carnal, but that's why we got to fast. Because this guy's sitting there thinking, you know, getting the whole bit. I'm getting the country boy breakfast or whatever it is they call it. Because that's our flesh joying. Yeah, flesh has its own joy, but it's momentary joy. And it can give you heartburn and all of that. But it's the joy of the Lord that keeps us going. Yeah. Amen. That's the thing that I'm in this for. I don't have to be lowered into a lion's den to know what happens. You sleep with lions. You walk with kings. I mean, I know the story, and the story gives me joy. And yet it's Daniel that did it. He did it for me. I don't have to do it. But I have a lot of joy knowing that my God did that. And I love reading the story. Every time I read it, I love the part where the king goes in there and says, Daniel, are you all right? And he says, long live the king. Hey, I'm here. Nothing's wrong with me. Somebody told about it. I don't have to be in a boat filled with water to know Jesus can calm a storm. He's calmed a few of my storms. It wasn't in a boat. But he calmed the storm. He has calmed a storm in a day. He's calmed a storm in a night. And oh, the joy of the calm of that storm strengthens me. Because it does two things. It strengthens my faith in God. And it strengthens God in my spirit. And then I have a God bigger than I had before. Because that joy of the Lord strengthens me. Amen. Their joy is my weapon and my reward. Every time you go through a trial, tell me about it and let me share the joy. Say, hey, I went through the trial. I didn't stop and get sidelined. I went through the trial. That victory you're standing in will be my victory tomorrow. Share it. Let's share it. You know, it's sweet when we share our testimonies. bring it. Let's share it. Let's show how great God is and everything that he's done. I said all that with this ending. Not to say this, but this is the ending. In our prayer meetings that we're going to be having, we're doing a little bit different than we have done them before. And you'll be getting, before the end of the year, we're going to give you brochures that's going to have each day on there, little handouts. And you're going to see, you know, the fasting schedule and all of that. But what we're going to do is have prayer each night. And Friday night's going to be different. Friday night is going to be focused prayer. And of course, we have our Wednesday services. And not everyone is able to make it. And I don't want to keep saying that because I don't want everybody to think, oh, pastor says we aren't going to make it, so let's not make it. I want us to try to be here. This is a month that's prayer and fasting, and we want to be here for each month and each night of January to pray from 7 to 8. But Friday is going to be focused prayer, and that's where we're going to pray for specific needs, and we're going to have everybody gather, and we'll pray, and then we'll bring up other needs, and we'll pray. Y'all, we've done that before, and it's a powerful service when we have that. It's where we pray for particular needs, and God's going to meet us here. But what we're doing is building the groundwork for that now. Amen. We're digging the footers. We're getting ready to build a place for God to dwell in this church. Amen. I expect the enemy to attack, but we're ready for him because we've already been praying. We're not sitting here saying, well, soon as January gets here, we're going to start. No, we had a good prayer meeting today. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and let's keep in our hearts and our minds today that God has given us joy. And that joy that he has given us is our strength. It strengthens us. I thank God so much for the little things. See, your thing may not be what someone else's, you know, that may not be their thing, their wheelhouse. But God gives you particular blessings that he knows would thrill you. He'll lead you by still waters. He will. He'll let you lie down in green pastures. If that's what you need, he'll do it then. That's how great God is. He knows you. He knows what you need. You're his. He spends a lot of time thinking of you because the Bible said he is mindful of you. Have you ever thought about that? God, his mind is full of you. How can I bless them? How can I reach them? How can I make them love me more? How can I do something to make them thrilled with my spirit? Oh, he loves you. Let's gather to the front as we close with this chorus. Come on, church. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
And in his presence, there's fullness of joy.
Oh, yes, thank you, Lord.